Hare Krishna, today's class is given by His Grace Ran Govinda Prabhuji. We are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 3, 166 onwards. Prabhuji, can you please take over this call?
Yes, Mata. Thank you. Hare Krishna, I'd like to welcome all of you to glorify Srila Prabhupada, his teachings, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. So we'll begin with Chaitanya Chaitamrita Adi Anta Lila, Chapter 3, Text 166 and onward. So before we begin, as Prabhupada suggested, advice, we always chant three times. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. So we are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita Anta Lila, third chapter, text 166. Hiranya Govardhana dui muluker majumdar tara purohita Balaram Balaram naam utar. Hiranya and Govardhan were the two governmental treasures in that division of the country. Their priest was named Balaram Acharya. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word Majumdar refers to a treasurer who keeps accounts of revenue. So I'm sure all the audience are aware, we are discussing about Haridas Thakur visiting his affectionate kind of disciple named Balaram Acharya. Raghunath Das Goswami, when in his childhood, he grew up under two great souls. One was Balaram Acharya, who brought Haridas Thakur, and another was Jadunandan Acharya. And Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Govardhan Majumdar. Majumdar title in Bengal, not now but previously, Majumdar was given one who would rule, like a ruler of a country or a province or district like this. So here, Prabhupada just giving a little tips on this. The word Majumdar refers to a treasurer who keeps accounts of revenue. We are talking about that time the Bengal was under Nawab Hussain Shah, and he had many collectors, and they would collect and they would keep 50% for themselves. Of course, it's appointed. Not everybody can collect. Only those who are appointed by the king, Nawab Hussain Shah. It was under the Muslim ruler. And he appointed this Govardhan Majumdar and his brother Hiranya Majumdar are the collector for him. The next verse, until we have a purport, I'm going to continue like this. Haridaser kipa patra tate bhakti mane jatna kari thakurere rakhila sei grame. Balaramacharya, being favored by Haridas Thakur, was very much attached to him. Therefore, he kept Haridas Thakur in the village with great care and attention. Nirjana parnasalai karena kitana Balaram acharya grihe bhiksha nirbahana. In the village, Haridas Thakur was given a solitary thatched cottage. If you've been to Mayapur, you can still see the Prabhupada's first house. They try to maintain the same thatched. As you enter through the main gate on the left side, the Prabhupada's original hut where he stayed. Then he will move to the Lotus building on third floor. Haridas Thakur was given a solitary thatched cottage where he performed the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He accepted prasadam at the house of Balaramacharya. Raghunath Das Balak Karena Yadhayana Haridas Thakurere Jai Karena Darsana. Raghunath Das was the son of Govardhan Majumdar and was later to become Raghunath Das Goswami. Was at that time a boy engaged in study. He came to see Haridas Thakur daily. It's interesting. Prabhupada gave hints of Raghunath Das Goswami's childhood life. That he was engaged in study. Engaged in study in his case was not just like a regular student we see here. They would not allow him to go to outside their palace because his parents, uncle and his father, they are biggest collector in that province, in that kingdom of Vasensha. That their income, they used to collect 2 million gold coin. Everything was gold coin as a tax. And they would keep 1 million gold coin. Try to give you a little clue about, so you will understand what is this 2 million gold coin. Well, 2 million gold coin he would collect and he would give half to King Nawab Hussain Shah. And he would keep 1 million for him. One gold coin at that time, it was approximately... One time Niranjan Maharaj said he was finding a trace. The Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur time, how Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur mentioned that even 100 years back in India, they didn't have a rupees. Rupees is like a new invention after during the British and after that. Before that, it was a kori. Kori means like a little conch shell. Looks like a con. And they were, that was the main, but in the trade, the gold and silver was a big deal. Copper was also, but gold and silver. And with one gold coin, you could buy one kind of a acre, enough land that you could maintain your family whole life expenses. You could grow vegetable and paddy and other. Sorry, it's not a 1 acre. It's enough land. It says that enough land, one gold coin could buy enough land that you could maintain your family from that land. Life was simple, difference. So you can imagine 1 million gold coin income. What was the status? Just a little tips on it. Then text 170. Haridas kripa kare tahara upare sei kripa karan haila chaitanya paibare. Naturally, Haridas Thakur was mercifully towards him. And because the merciful benediction of this Vaishnava, he later attained the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Taha jai che haila haridas er mahima kathan Bekhan Adbhuta Katha Sunabhaktagan at the residence of Hiranya and Govardhan, discourses took place by which Haridas Thakur was glorified. O devotee, please listen to that wonderful story. Ek din Balaram minati koriya majumdare sabai aila Thakure loiya. One day, Balaram Acharya requested Haridas Thakur with great humility to come to the assembly of the Majumdars, Hiranya and Govardhan. Thus Balaram Acharya went there with Haridas Thakur. Thakur dekhi dui bhai koila obbuthana, paye pori asan dila koriya sammana. Seeing Haridas Thakur, the two brothers immediately stood up and fell at his lotus feet. Then with great respect, they offered him to place to sit. Aneka pandita sabhaye brahmana sajjan, dui bhai mahapandit Hiranya Govardhan. In that assembly were many learned scholars, brahmanas, and respectable gentlemen. The two brothers Hiranya and Govardhan were also greatly learned. Haridasar gun sabe kahe panchamuke, suniya to dui paila bara sukhe. Everyone there began to speak Haridas Thakur's great qualities as if they had five mouths. Hearing these, both brothers were extremely happy. Tin lakh naam Thakur kare na kirtan, namer mahima uthaila panditgan. It was mentioned in the assembly that Haridas Thakur chanted the holy name of Krishna 300,000 times. Means 3 lakhs in Bengal they call it, times a day. Thus all the learned scholars began to discuss the glories of the holy name. Keha bole naam hoite hai papakshay. Okay, these are now philosophy in a story format. These are very deep understanding of the holy name. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually wrote a few books about the holy name, Jayaga Dharma. Harinam Chintamani is very famous, and we all are aware of that. And Prabhupada gives a lot of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amritabha Vaishnava, and glory of holy name. So these are crucial points. Hopefully we can all remember this one. Keha bole naam hoite hoy papakshay, keha bole naam hoite jiver muksha hoy. Some of them say by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from the reaction of all sinful life. Others said, simply by chanting of the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from the material bondage. Haridas kahen namer dei phul dui phal nai, namer phale Krishna pade prema o pajay. Haridas Thakur protested, these two benedictions are not the true result of chanting the holy name. Actually, by chanting the holy name without offenses, one awakens his ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Krishna. 179. Evam sabrata priya, evam brata sapriya nama kirta. Jata anuraga dhuta chitta uche, pasati atharudati rauti gayati, unmada vana nittati loka bhajye. When a person is actually advanced and take pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chant the holy name. He also laughs, cries, become agitated and chant just like a madman, not caring for outsider. Short purport. For an explanation of this verse, Bhagavatam 11.2.40, one may consult chapter 7, text 94 and Adigila. 180. Anusangik phala namer mukti papanas তাহা দৃষ্টান্ত জয়িছে সূর্যের প্রকাশ লিবারেশন এন্ড এক্সটিংশন অফ দ্য রিয়াকশন অফ সিনফুল লাইফ আর টু কনকমিটেন্ট বাই প্রোডাক্ট অফ চ্যান্টিং দ্য হোলি নেম অফ দ্য লর্ড লিবারেশন এন্ড এক্সটিংশন অফ দ্য রিয়াকশন অফ সো ইটস এগেইন bringing that point of karma and gyan, the result of karma and gyan. An example is found in the glimpse of morning sunlight. Then Haridas Thakur quoted this famous verse, Anga sanghara dakhilam sakrida udaye deva sakaluka sakala lukasya tarani rivati mira jaladim jayati jagamangalam harena. As the rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean, so the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offenses, dissipate all the reaction of living being, sinful life. All glories to that holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious for the entire world. This verse is found in the Padavali of Rupa Goswami Pad, an anthology of verses compiled by Sri Rupa Goswami. Ei shloker artha kara panditera gana sabe kahe tumi kara artha bibarana. After reciting this verse, Haridas Thakur said, O learned scholars, please explain the meaning of this verse. Sloka is missing. But the audience requested Haridas Thakur, it is better for you to explain the meaning of this important verse. Very nice. Haridas kahen jaiche surjera udai, udai na haite arambe tamer hai khai. Haridas Thakur said, as the sun begins to rise, even before it is visible to dissipate the darkness of night, চোর প্রেত রাক্ষস আদি ভয় হয় নাশ উদয় হইলে ধর্ম কর্ম আদি প্রকাশ. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts and the demons immediately disappears. When the sun is actually visible, everything is manifested and everyone begins performing his religious activities and regulative deeds. হইছে নাম অধ্যায়ের পাপ আদি ক্ষয় উদয় কইলে কৃষ্ণ পদে হয় প্রেম উদয়. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened, dissipate the reaction of sinful life immediately. When one chants the holy name of offenselessly, one awakens to serve, so to service in ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. Mukti tuccha phal hai namabhas hoite. Liberation is the insignificant result derived from the glimpse of awakening of offenseless chanting of the holy name. Mriyamana hare nama putra it gyan putra ito parcharitam ajamila agadhama kimotaya sabdaya grinan. This is also famous verse, Prabhupada. While dying, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, intending to call his son Narayan. Nevertheless, he attended the spiritual world. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with faith and reverence? This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 6-49. Je mukti bhakta nalaye se Krishna chahe dite. Liberation which is unacceptable for a pure devotee is always offered by Krishna without difficulty. Shalukka sasti sarupa samitpa ekattamuta diyamanam na grinnanti binamat sevanam janam. My devotees do not accept salukka, sasti, sarupa, samipa and oneness with me, even if I offer this liberation in preference to serving me. This verse is spoken by Lord Kapila, an avatar of Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-30. গোপাল চক্রবর্তী নাম একজন মজুমদারের ঘরে এই আরিন্দা প্রদান. At the house of Hiranandan Govardhan Mojumdar, a person named Gopal Chakravarti was officially the chief tax collector. Gore rahi patsaha age arinda giri kare, baralakka mudra e patsar dhai bare. The Gopal Chakraborty lived in Bengal. His duty as the chief collector was to collect 1,200,000 coins to deposit in the treasury of the emperor. Parama Sundara Pandit Nutana Jovan Namabhase Mukti Suni Nahoila Sahan. Now this verse has a bigger purport, so we'll stop there. And none of the verse had a purport, just a reference. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He had handsome bodily features. He was learned and youthful, but he could not tolerate the statement that simply by glimpsing the awakening of the Lord's holy name, one can attain liberation. Purport. I'm going to break the purport I was reading this morning. Om Ajnati Mirandhasa Genanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Samini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sundavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Pancha Kalpa Taru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavanibho Vaishnavibho Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this beautiful pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful distribution of holy name through Haridas Thakur is revealed. And this kind of opposition that we are reading today, it's not something new. Even it's going on right now in our own mind, perhaps. Maybe we're not aware, but it is the same. So let's see what Prabhupada gave the purport. So first point is, Vaishnavas strictly follow the direction of the Shastra regarding how one can be liberated simply by slight awakening of pure chanting of the holy name. So this is Vaishnava view on liberation by Namabhas, you can say. Then Prabhupada writes, Mayavadis cannot tolerate the statement of Shastras about how easily liberation can be achieved. For as stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, Klesha adhikatarastesham abhyakta asukta chetasam. Impersonalists must work hard for many, many births. Only then will they perhaps be liberated. While I'm reading this, heavy rain going on outside. Perhaps the question may arise that why they feel this way, that it requires many, many thousands of birth to get liberation. And as a devotee, we don't even give importance of liberation. How we only give this life so much importance. Why is that? Prabhupada elaborate this. Vaishnavas know that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one achieves liberation as byproduct. So that's the big difference. Thus, there is no need to endeavor separately for liberation. Srila Billa Mangal Thakur has said, Mukti Sayam Mukalitanjali Sevate Asman. Liberation stands at one's door, ready to render any kind of service. If one is a pure devotee with unflinching faith, and reverence. This is the Maya. This the Mayavadi cannot tolerate. Therefore, the Arinda Pradhana, chief tax collector, although very learned, handsome, and youthful, could not tolerate the statement of Haridas Thakur. So, we are going to discuss a little more on this point, that how to understand that for liberation, jnanis in that sense, in this world, there are millions of people actually think about how to get out of this suffering condition of material world. And they take different paths. So jnani is not just a one sect in India or something. Like Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he was in the class when Prabhupada was very heavily talking about the impersonalists, how they are polluting the atmosphere in the name of liberation or get out of the material painful suffering, but they do not introduce Krishna and his relationship with us. And so Prabhupada was very heavy. After the class, Keshavaji, at that time Prabhu, asked Prabhupada, is that an impersonalist a concern about liberation is like some kind of a group, little group is there in India. I never heard it, that you are very upset with it. And Prabhupada turned back to him. He said, no, I'm talking about you. And he was like, me? He never thought that Mayavadi, impersonalist, all this idea, like how it's related to him, he could not put together. Then Prabhupada says, that everybody in this world are born with this three attachment, and one of them is this. So then he realized, okay, this impersonalism is like a contamination every soul has. So when we confront bhakti yoga in our life, this sounds like, when we read this, it sounds like a one group of people in India are trying for this. No, we feel this. We cannot meditate, we cannot concentrate, we cannot relate with the Lord's deity form every day, or Lord's. We feel like that's like a little abstract. I can relate with my children, my parents, my wife, husband, because I can see them, I can talk with them, so it's easy. But with God, I don't. Why? Because impersonalism is blocking. This is what it is. This Chaitanya Chaitamita is relevant to our own life right now. It is not just one time happened during Haridas Thakur time. It is happening every day in every temple. Some devotees don't feel that attracted to Krishna consciousness. Even if they are attracted to Krishna consciousness, they sometimes attach to a particular service. Deity Seva. But they are not even aware of the supremacy of the Supreme God that they are dressing or doing arati. Ramanuja Acharya said that the 5 point all the devotee always remember that origin supreme is in spiritual world, where he is eternally performing pastimes and living with his eternal associate. Then he expanded to quadruple, that Vaikuntham. Then he further expanded Antarjami, the Vishnu avatar. Then he further expanded as deities. Further he expanded as holy name. These 5 feature, even if you are doing deity worship, you always should chant, because chanting is the most merciful form of the Lord. And literary incarnation also, Chaitanya Chaitamita Bhagavatam is also another incarnation. But we have to remember the Lord is always in the spiritual world. He's never in the material world. But he expands himself from there to accept our offerings, to accept our service like this. Goloka namni nijadhamni talesa tasya devi mahesa haridhamesa tesu tesu tete prabhavani chayabihitasya jena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That from Golok Vrindavan, Goloka namni nijadhamni talesa tasya, he expands. He is always in the spiritual world, never leaves. But he expands with his inconceivable potency to America, to accept our offering, our service. When we don't have this view, this perception, that out of his extreme merciful nature he is doing this, chances of offense, seva aparad, dhamma aparad, nama aparad, vaishnava aparad, the list goes on, still remains. So this is very important. Another point Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. The Mayavadi's view that they cannot tolerate Vaishnava's conclusion. Vaishnava conclusive statement that just by Namavas, not pure name, the mukti is automatically obtained. For which the jnanis who demonize the world. Jnani means who demonize the world. I don't know if we ever had a feeling, I hope not, but if we had a feeling, I had, I'm tired of this world life, I want to just get out, go to spiritual world. You want to feel like reject this world. I want to, like the devotee paid obeisances to Prabhupada in New Vrindavan, he says, Prabhupada, I want to just reject this world. Prabhupada said, you don't own the world. You cannot reject something you don't own. If you have something in your possession, you can give up. But you, world is not your. Neither you own it, neither you rule it. So what to give up? But the conception is there. Feeling is there sometime coming. That is called impersonalism. Not necessarily Mayavad, but impersonalism is there. So, and another point Prabhupada made, that Billamangal Thakur, Prabhupada mentioned here, who is, Prabhupada mentioned the word Billamangal Thakur. He says that Srila Billamangal Thakur has said, Mukti Shayam Mukalitanjalit Shevate Asman. And I remember that verse, Prabhupada quoted this very often, very nice verse. You can say in conclusion, in 4th canto, 28th chapter, 51 text, Prabhupada also explained about this verse I was reading this morning, that Srila Prabhupada finishes purport with the citation of Billamangal Thakur. Bhakti stai stiratara bhagavan jadishet Raive nana falati dibba kishora murti mukti sayam mukulita anjali sevate asman dharma artha kama samaya pratiksha. In conclusion, that if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, like us all, then he immediately associate with the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. By how? How he associates? By Bani or Bapu, deity form, or following his instruction, or reading. We are actually associating. If we are aware of it, we connect with it, we can actually experience that his association will be joyful inside. But if we are not fully aware of, we are not connecting, just is passing by our, we may miss that connection. In our sadhana practice, the beginning, I mentioned many times probably, the beginning installment that we get is that our consciousness becoming spiritualized. What does that mean, spiritualized? Consciousness becoming spiritualized means we can realize the joyful, compassionate nature of the Lord, who is indestructible. His relationship with me is very joyful, sweet, with all the soul. And I am also, in my constitution level, joyful, happy, indestructible entity. So indestructibility of spiritual reality will manifest at that time. Then our elevation of such consciousness increasingly will connect with Krishna. When that connection becomes strong and sturdy, then in this world, maybe the insecurities or mental disturbance can inflict us at material level, still we can, simultaneously we can, through that connection, experience, relish the joyful securities in Krishna. So this is very important. This is the verse explaining that if I am engaged in devotional service unto you, as Prabhupada referred this verse, my dear Lord, then very easily I will be able to perceive your presence in my life and in everywhere, everything. If the soul is happy, whatever the soul does, it's also extension of happiness. If soul location of consciousness is on material, not connected with Krishna, then he also feels the effect of the material. What is material? Dukkhalayam asashvatam, temporary and misery. So it is not that we're trying to switch or shift our this things to that things. No, we should guide our consciousness where the consciousness should focus on. So location of our consciousness actually determines whether we're spiritually happy or materially happy. Material happy is an absence of spiritual connection or absence of material misery, you can say. We have to get above, connect with the spiritual. That's why when people suffer a lot, they literally say, I want to get out of this material existence. It's too painful. Too much hard labor. It's hard. This is like, for an example, like say I like rasgulla. I hope you all know what rasgulla is, or say gulab jamun. And I love rasgulla, but I came to a country where rasgulla is not available. Only one shop has, and say I make $5,000 a month. And I used to eat 5 rasgulla. Now, when I found out that I could buy rasgulla here and this man is selling $1,000 for one rasgulla, what will be my thought? What will I be thinking? Oh my God, I want 5 rasgulla, but I'll spend entire month's income just to have this 5 rasgulla one time in my life. This is called material happiness. We're not denying material happiness is not there, but the soul has to work so hard to get a little glimpse. In spiritual connection, we have an unlimited same happiness, spiritual happiness, unlimited way, and we don't have to pay. It's free. That's why spiritual conception means free of labor. Material world means karma, labor, hard labor. Nobody likes it. Doesn't matter how much they love their work. I tried already, I spoke to them very in a different level. Like this professor would say that he loves his research with those 10 people. They're always happy in this. I said, do you take vacation? He said, yes. I said, why do you take vacation? Because you're tired of work. Well, not in that way. I said, yeah, do. Are you going to retire? He said, yes. I said, why? So you don't have any conception. What is real happiness? You're just trying to minimize the material suffering. But that's not what soul entitled. We have unlimited happiness. We don't have a clue. That's why we try to come to Krishna consciousness, connect ourselves to that unlimited ocean of nectar. In this relation to Bilamangal Tagore, I remember Radha Govinda Maharaj one time mentioned that people, they are looking to merge or get out of the material world by getting liberation. Liberation means, it's not like you drop this physical body, then you are liberated. No, you have a subtle body. You have to purify the subtle body. When you purify the subtle body, that doesn't mean you are liberated. You are now soul body. Now, if you don't want to serve the God, that soul body has a senses. So what happened? You want to merge into Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan. 3 types of merging is there. And if you merge, it's not that merge that you are like stuck in Krishna's body, if you merge in Krishna's body. No. There is a Mataji called Mukti Devi. She takes you and she keeps all those souls that want to merge. It's called Mukti Dham. And in Mukti Dham, Kailash, above material world, there's a Biraja, then Brahma Jyoti, then there is a Kailash. Kailash, then Vaikuntha. Service began after that, from Vaikuntha. But in Kailash, there's a 2 layer. One is Siddhaloka, where all the liberation soul, liberated soul, enter there. Even Mukti Devi, who hold all the souls in her realm, she is tired. She came one time, there's a story Radha Govinda Maharaj mentioned, that Mukti Devi was crying and crying, and Krishna privately met in Vrindavan. She said, what are you doing here? This is not your place. He said, my dear Lord, I'm so tired of your so many unlimited this amount of this soul that supposed to serve you and remain happy. Instead, they want to like abstain from everything and just be isolated due to their exertion in the material world. So, I just can't take it anymore, Prabhu. You have to give me some mercy of your foot dust. Krishna, by nature, is very compassionate. So, he said, in Vrindavan, nobody cares for mukti, so you cannot stay, but this is the only place you can get the highest ecstasy. Okay. When my Brajabasi devotee walks, run or play, some dust will fly in the sky and drop you. You can stay at this border and some dust you'll get and you'll feel relief. So she's still there in spiritual Brajadham and she feels tolerable of those demon gets killed by Vishnu, get merged in her domain. So she's taking care of them in like this. It's not a pleasant place. That's why it says Arajya Krishna Param Padam Patanti Adha. They again fell down from their position. So this is another point. Another point is Prabhupada mentioned is the tolerance. He mentioned twice. Therefore, the Arinda Pradhan, chief tax collector, although very learned, handsome, youthful, could not tolerate the statement of Haridas Thakur. And before that, Prabhupada also write that those jnanis, they cannot tolerate also. What is, then why do Vaishnavas supposed to tolerate automatically that the impersonalist don't know? Yes, that's true. Because this is one of our, not that we practice how to tolerate, but it is our corresponding to the advancement in bhakti. Proportion to our advancement, we can tolerate. What does that mean? Means when Shuddha Bhakti enters in the heart or arises in the heart, then Dainya Daya, Manada Amanina, these four things appears. Tenderness towards others. Instead of seeing man, woman, animal or other, they have a natural compassion. Why? Because when they see the soul who has a direct connection with the Lord, and the soul is lost in this world and suffering. So soul thrive in that. Then they identify themselves never separately from the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, just like Prabhupada did. Entire demonstration in his preaching life. He always said, it is by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, everything happened. It is by the mercy that he sent all of you to help me serve. This is a beautiful view. This is natural, normal. We all going to have, or some of you probably already acting in that platform. So there's a famous verse Prabhupada said, we should keep it on our throat. Tate nukampa susumikshamano bunjane batma kritam vipakam vidbak bhavavir vidadan namaste jiveto jo mukti padesho dayavak 10.14.8. I'm going to paraphrase what I remember. Oh my Lord, we are earnestly waiting for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon us. All the while patiently suffering the reaction of our past misdeeds, yet we are continuously offering our obeisances with respect and love and affection. With our heart, with our words, with our body, then we become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead by His mercy. That is the purpose of bhakti. So in the purport, if you look at Prabhupada, says something like that, one who surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord is no longer liable to suffer the reaction of his previous karma. Now, some devotee may think like, well, why am I going through a lot of suffering still? And here this purport Prabhupada ended with, they tolerate. The others don't have tolerance. Karmi don't tolerate. They feel hot, they put AC on. They're trying to beat the system. COVID-19, let's find the vaccination quick. It's normal. It's expected. And it's nothing wrong. But that's not ultimate. Why we are here, that should be also questioned. Suffering has a purpose. Purpose of suffering, to be very thoughtful and inquire, what is the purpose of life? Why all this pain, unnecessary coming? I never invited suffering, but the suffering comes. Nobody endeavor for suffering. Nobody endeavors. Prahlad Maharaj says, Sukha Vandrikam Daitta Deho Jogena Dehina. Sarvatra Labbate Deva Jatha Dukha Vat Ajatnata. For suffering, Dukha, nobody invites. My dear headache, my dear, cancer, my dear AIDS, my dear this disease, my dear that disease, my dear, please come. No, nobody ever wrote letter to a disease or sickness or old age or gray hair, whatever. But they come by force, without invitation. Then what is the logic that for happiness we have to endeavor so hard? Whatever is meant to come in human life, it will come. But we are not happy with it. We want more pleasure. So we think we can beat the system, but we forget that our precarious condition, that any moment death can come and take us out of human birth and go glide down again 6 million or who knows how many life. So what should we do while we are practicing bhakti? Prabhupada said, tolerate. Tolerate. Why? Now we see that we understand that we suffer, or you can say we are liable to suffer the reaction of our previous karma. Now surrender is supposed to finish that. Yes. But Prabhupada put a one question. Because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality. Now what to do? Lord is merciful. He's seeing this Prabhu, Krishna Das, needs another 5 lives to fulfill some of his desire that he always wanted. He was emotional, attached. But he's praying to me, he wants to go end of this life. He wants to come back home. So Lord Krishna intervene and he sees, oh, he definitely too much emotionally attached to this kind of happiness. So I'm going to give him a little token. The Lord removes the last vestige of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishment that may sometime resemble sinful reaction. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. That is a fact. Therefore, particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, you can think that way, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. That's why even pure devotee, Vishnu Chakuti Thakur writes, they keep a little lingering of their bodily sickness and other sickness. Why? Because if devotee who surrendered and purified everything, he may forget to go back home. He may think, you know, life is not bad. Maybe we should just stay here for a while. Krishna doesn't want it. Krishna doesn't want those pure devotees to suffer anymore. He wants them to go back. So to go back, Krishna purposely keeps some time lingering, little more sickness. Oh, that devotee is so advanced, still suffering. No, he's not suffering. Krishna just wants him to constantly demanding, okay, this world is miserable, it's temporary, you know, I'm going to go home. No trace of coming back, or it's okay, it's comfortable place. It's not bad. No, it is bad. When Krishna says it is dukkhalayam, Allah, you know, in India, they have a bhojanalay, oshodalay. Alay means a home or a place. Oshodalay means a medicine place. Bhojanalay means a eating place. Dukkhalay means is a place for dukkha. When Krishna said this is a place for suffering, why you think, oh, it's not bad? You ask people, they really think Maya covered their intelligence so wonderfully. They think it's not bad. You know, I have a new car now. it's not bad. I have a new doctor. I have a new insurance. They always find some way to like go against what Krishna says. Krishna doesn't say that this place will become a paradise. Prison will never become paradise. Prison is prison, period. We are here to get rectified and go back home. So sometime we have to understand how Krishna is telling. That's why Prabhupada writes that Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee, Prabhupada says, I'm paraphrasing, is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather Lord's special mercy for including his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. That's why a sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. He willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respect and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. And such bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Dayobak. And that sloka was supposed to be hanging as a locket on our throat all the time. Prabhupada said, just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So, what do we understand so far from this? That our attitude should be, what I think, whatever comes, this is earned by my previous karma. My previous karma has earned such an environment. It is a necessity to teach me. And whenever my teaching will finish, the environment will change. Whatever the circumstance, the environment may be undesirable. But if we are sincere, all of us, all the devotees all over the world, we must take it with a good motive because Lord has sent it. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing can come inflict me. Not even a straw can move. Prabhupada said, not even a leaf can move. I'm put in such an unfavorable environment. Sometimes we inquire, you know, I went through also in my life suffering, and I thought nobody in this world will understand what I'm going through. And then I investigate. Every devotee thinks the same thing. Nobody will understand how I'm going through. This is the Krishna's mercy. Krishna wants personal talking with him, converse with him, and appeal to him. And he's interested, just like with Billamangal Thakur. He will spend for eternal time to hear what you have to say, what you went through. Krishna did hear everything Billamangal Thakur said. So Prabhupada ended like this. It's very nice. So one who lives his life while joyfully seeing everything as his mercy, even while experiencing the adverse condition arising from my past deed, I am constantly paying respect, not like, oh gosh, I'm tired, I can't do it anymore. No. We must have a joyful mood and with a respect. I'm laughing. When I went through one time in my life, I was not laughing. I was crying. So, but now I look at back, yes, I should have laughed and be happy that I was chanting. It was a good thing that I was surrounded by devotee and chanted, kept on going. It is our environment, our own past deeds. I must not quarrel with what my own deeds have produced. Bodhi Narayan Maharaj told me one time, it's a dirty story, but I'll throw it anyway. He said, a gentleman had a talk with his own stool. He said, you're disgusting. I want to flush you out. He said, excuse me, I was a good samosa before I met you. And look at what happened with your association. Of course, I'm not saying that from honor the Samasa Prasada. But point was that I must not quarrel. That's the point. Do not quarrel with what your own deeds have produced. What should be my attitude? I must finish this effect. It is necessary for me. As soon as the necessity will be finished, it will be withdrawn and I'll be put in another separate environment. We have to wait for the decision. The divine dispensation. Prabhupada writes, in the dispensation of providence, I memorized this English even though I didn't understand those days, because he wrote a whole chapter in Bengali on the English sentence. In the dispensation of providence, mankind cannot have any rest. And somebody told me Prabhupada got it from a newspaper or something. And he gave he wrote in Bengali book. He wrote two Bengali books before he came to the English edition. So this is very important. We have to wait for a decision. The divine dispensation. That will be the highest policy. That was, I think, the most sacred, desirable, helpful policy is everywhere. It will increase our faith in the Supreme. The Supreme command of all environment may come now or in future. This policy of a devotee will be most suitable and helpful. Just like this sloka, Prabhupada mentioned, Tate anukampa susumikshaman. The undesirable things have not come suddenly to punish me, but it is necessarily self-acquired. It will get its fulfillment and then vanish. Then I shall get another chance. I give you a short, it's already 12 o'clock, but I'll give you one minute. I'll just give you one example. There was one Bengali gentleman who got initiation by Jayapataka Maharaj, and he was a fish eater. Of course, fish in Bengal is like ice cream in America. It's not something you have to promote. It's like you're born with it. They cannot live without eating fish. So one man, he was saying that he wants to get initiation, but he cannot give up eating fish. So his village, Shiksha Guru, taught him something very interesting. He said, you like fish? Say, yes. You hang a fish and chant nearby. So he caught a fish before he cooked this, he hanged it. He was chanting. He said, chant more today for 3 days. I'm behind, don't worry. So his guru, Shiksha Guru, lives nearby. One day passed. He went back to his guru. He says, Gurudev, what kind of teaching is this? Before I only was hungry and think of fish. Now I open my eye, I see the fish. I close my eye, I think of fish. It's like a fish more and more. He said, don't worry, keep on going. On the second day, maybe in America you may not understand this, because I used to go to Novodip and there's a fish market too. Fish smell when they are old, rotten, is the most disgustable smell than any other rotten animal or anything. On the second day, the smell started coming. And he went to his Gurudev, he said, I'm chanting since morning, but I don't like the smell. He said, it's all right, just tolerate a little more. On the third day was a disgusting. He said, just one more day. I thought you said 3 days. No, 5 days, you need to come out. On the fourth day, he went to his guru. He said, I feel like to throw up. He said, it's all right, just one more day. On the fifth day, he really threw up and everything. And then his guru said, how do you feel about fish? Oh, it's disgusting. So close your eye. How do you feel about fish? Who do you think? No, Gurudev, I don't want to talk. It's disgusting. They came out of fish eating. And then he got initiated. Now he's very advanced. He's preaching a very powerful way. So like this, sometime we have to go through a senior devotee, senior experience that who will give us that disgusting experience of the material sense enjoyment, then will be easy to give up. Or you can do on your own by praying, by chanting seriously and crying that I cannot give up this habit, bad habit, whatever. Then eventually will be purified. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. I'll stop here. Anybody has any question, comment, or discussion further? Hare Krishna Mada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. So nice class. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your association.
The teacher read to us.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for nice class, nicely explaining. And I have a kind of similar one story about the teacher, because she said to the students, all of you go home and get one plastic bag and put four potatoes in there. And so then they, and then bring here. So they, everybody brought these potatoes. And so then teacher say, what you do, wherever you go, just keep this bag of potatoes with you, always. So then the bag was closed anyway. And so the kids, they say, oh, this is fun. The 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and the potatoes became rotten. And they also, so then they were smelling so bad, and they don't want to take them with them anymore. So they complained to teachers, smell so bad, and I don't want to take them with me every day. Say, yes. So now just think of that, if you are thinking of somebody, not that you know you don't like that some person, and then you're always thinking about that person in a hateful way. So then what happens to you, eventually those hateful remains, the thoughts remains with you all this time, all the, and it just more and more and become. So you should give up, don't hate anybody.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Because of the being you told about the story about the fish, it remind me of this story.
That's wonderful.
Teacher is teaching. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other question, comment? Dibbanga Prabhu, nice to see you.
I like it. You said, wait for divine dispensation. That gives me hope. You know? That means it's coming, right? I'm going to get it.
Yes. Yes.
And also, you said that don't quarrel with your own karma, because it's meant to teach you and it's just right for you. So you have to accept. You can fight it, but it won't do you any good to fight it. So you should just accept it and know, Dayabak, right? You're going to get the mercy
yes.
in the end.
Yes.
Thank you for reminding me.
Thank you for reflecting. That's wonderful.
That samosa story was so great. I'm just waiting to see how many people I can tell that story to.
I don't mean it, but
I heard it before. It was a gulab jamun. And the guy goes, hey, last night I was a beautiful golden gulab jamun, and now look at me, just from one night with you.
It's very true. You know, because I like it, I look at this way, that because in this chapter we're discussing with the impersonalist what they think. They want to, it's also within us, it's not like some group somewhere, it's also within us, as Prabhupada told to Keshav Bharati Maharaj. Some people really think that jumping over the world with all its problem and complication is the way to reach God. They really think, some people. Yes, spiritualists don't want to get caught in this broken world. And if we rush into the world to impulsively enjoy its pleasure or to presumptuously fix things on our own, we get entangled. Still, I like the way Bhaktisiddhanta Thakura narrated this. He said, God is not entirely separate from the world. And he makes it easy, our journey. He said, we need to love him in the world, through the world, with the world. Very nicely, he said. And I was thinking, like, you know, some sloka while I was meditating on it. How do you love God in the world? Well, Krishna says that the world comes from him and is meant to serve as an arena for soul like me, rebellious soul, who are distanced from God, to come closer to him. That was the sole purpose of this creation. Indeed, Bhagavad Gita actually describes how Krishna is so concerned about, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 3, Adi Lila, that I'm paraphrasing, that this world, that the personality descends repeatedly to establish religion, social, spiritual order. Why? By which people can ultimately move towards him. And he wants his devotee to assist in his mission. That's what the ISKCON actually doing. All these devotees conversing, distributing books, Harinam. But that's what we are doing, actually. We are working on Lord's behalf as the instrument. And we are assisting in Prabhupada's mission to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's mission, which is Lord Chaitanya's mission, for spiritualizing the world. Therefore, we need to serve Krishna in the world by creating resources for engaging with the world in a way that spiritualizes human consciousness. But the Gyani's idea, also it is within me sometimes. I just don't want to get involved with anything. Just leave me, you know, alone. No, we need every opportunity we get, we should engage. Then question comes, how do you love God through the world? When we face the world's challenges purposefully, we develop and demonstrate the earnestness of our devotion. How do you love God with the world? I just had a talk while I was driving to here, a short, to one young man who is going to college. I said, can you love with the world? Can you love Krishna with the world? He said, no, that's not possible. I said, yes, possible. But bhakti, Krishna consciousness tradition, declares the world is meant to be offered to God. What do you have, Prabhu? You have this body, product of this world. You have the mind, product of this world. Offer it to Krishna. That's all. This means that we work in a mood of worship. Even you're going to college. What for? So that you can get a family of Krishna consciousness and raise children and offer them to Krishna. That's all Krishna consciousness is all about. Try to offer the world to God. And that shows the love. Anyway, so I feel we should reach God not by rejecting the world, but by loving him in, through, and with the world. Any reflection, correction, question, comments?
Yes, it sounds like you just described the principle of Yukta Vairagya, right?
Yes. You said it in one word. Very good. That's what Yukta Vairagya boils down to. No other question, then we can close.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam to your sincere association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pran Prabhu.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Ma'am. There is no question or comment. You can end the call, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Paying our senses to all devotees and
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Bo Prabhu.